Okay, the Economic Development Budget Division will come to order for Monday, February 11th. We're just going to be hearing some bonding proposals that will be considered for possible funding in the bonding bill this year. And today, we won't be taking any votes because we're officially not in session yet, but we do want to expedite some of these bills so that we can at least hear them in front of the committee before we go into session tomorrow and get them ready for recommendations to the bonding committee. Senator Solon, which one do you want to do first?
Mr. Chair, can we take them together?
Well, they're two different bills, so you should probably explain them differently. As long as the same guy is going to talk about them. We don't want to be talking about polar bears and confuse the polar bear exhibit with the sanitary sewer overflow, even if the polar bears are contributing to it.
Mr. Chair, let's start with 2332 then.
Okay.
And I do have an amendment to 2332 to put it in its proper format. It is the A1 amendment.
Okay. Council, give me some advice on this here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, it just changes the dollar amount in the original bill from the 2007 session.
And we can act on this on Wednesday, correct? So the idea here is you're going to be cutting it in about half, it looks like, the request. And so on Wednesday, when we're in session and we meet, we'll formally act on these things when we get the entire committee in front of us and we can actually vote. But just for everybody's information, go ahead and explain the amendment if you want.
Okay. Mr. Chair, as Mr. Jensen said, this reduces the size of the request for the sanitary sewer overflow storage facilities from $12,750,000 to $6,250,000. And this change brings the city's request more in line with the schedule for building these facilities. And, Mr. Chair, if I might add, the city's under considerable pressure to develop these facilities in order to prevent discharges of sanitary sewer water into Lake Superior. The city will need to develop a number of these facilities over time, and this request continues our progress toward addressing the mandate to prevent overflows into Lake Superior. And I have with me today the administrator from the City of Duluth, John Hall.
Welcome, Mr. Hall.
Thank you.
Would you like to give us a quick explanation of this?
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is John Hall. I'm the Chief Administrative Officer for the City of Duluth. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you. I'm here today to testify on behalf of the two bills that Senator Pretner Solon has introduced, seeking state matching funds for infrastructure in our city. As Senator Pretner Solon mentioned, I'll first address the request for sanitary sewer overflow storage facilities. A handout has been provided to the committee which identifies funding sources and the particular locations in the city where the overflow storages would be built, in addition to those we've already built. Senator Pretner Solon mentioned the city's under a mandate to address sanitary sewer overflows into Lake Superior. Specifically, we are in the final stages of negotiating a consent decree with the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. EPA. The terms of this consent decree will require that the city achieve a zero discharge capability for our sanitary sewer system. The city of Duluth is a beautiful place, but the city is positioned all along the base of a hill overlooking Lake Superior. It stretches nearly 25 miles all along water. Being at the base of the hill brings gravity into play with respect to the flow of sanitary sewer water to our treatment facilities located on the bay. Our circumstance is complicated by the fact that Duluth is an old city. Three quarters of our wastewater infrastructure is over 50 years old. Some of it is over 100 years old. One of the unfortunate results of aging infrastructure is that clear water, rainwater, finds its way into our sanitary sewer system, causes a high volume of sanitary sewer water flowing downhill during storm events that exceeds the capacity and results in overflows. The overflows go directly into Lake Superior. With the help of the legislature, we've been able to build four sanitary sewer overflow storage facilities in the city. Three of these facilities are fully functional, and the fourth will be completed very soon. We envision three more facilities that will need to be built over the course of the next few years. Two of the facilities we currently have in mind would be funded with the matching funds requested in the Senator's bill. If you look on the left side of the map that we've provided you, you'll find the Polk Street Station full location. This is a 2 million gallon facility we would build with the matching funds secured through this bill. If you look on the right side of the map at the other yellow tab location, that's the 30th Avenue East and London Road facility, a 3.5 million gallon facility which would be constructed if this funding can be addressed in 2008. The city is also working to address issues of infiltration and inflow in order to stop the overflow at its source and thus reduce the size of the final storage basin that we would be developing in a few years' time. We expect to finalize negotiations with the DOJ and the EPA on our consent decree in the immediate future. In the meantime, however, it is very important that we proceed with as much of this work as possible in order to ensure timely compliance with federal requirements and to honor that special stewardship and responsibility that we have for Lake Superior.
Mr. Hall, is the tell me what the DOJ is.
The Department of Justice, I'm sorry.
That's what I thought. How do they fit in here?
They've issued they'll be enforcing the consent decree. The Environmental Protection Agency is putting us under the gun to immediately stop overflows.
Okay. All right. Okay. Any questions, Mr. Hall or Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see it a little bit here on the spreadsheet, but if the witness could describe a little bit more what the local effort is and how that money is being raised. Is it being raised through increases in sewer charges, or how are you coming up with your local portions?
We've done all of those things. We've increased sewer charges. The mayor today will be addressing the city council and the council of the whole to describe the inflow, where it comes from. A good share of it is due to our aging infrastructure. An additional share of it is due to the fact that many of our homes were built 50 to 75 years ago. And the homes were built with clay tile sewer pipes that butt together, and they leak. And so the result of that is that whenever we have major rain events, we get freshwater inflow into the private pipes as well, and that's what's causing our overflows. We have spent several millions of dollars of city money on a sump pump program to try to address the private infrastructure, and that is making a significant difference, but the rest is going to have to be on the sewer pipes themselves. We refer to them as the private sewer lines.
And Mr. Hall, you've completed the first four, right? The 2004 through 2007 that are on the chart here.
That is correct.
Those are complete. Have they contributed to eliminating 28 to 31, or is that what the total? Well, 28 to 31 overflows. Well,
Reduced the number of overflows. They've reduced the number of overflows considerably, but we need to get down to zero.
Mr. Chairman, members, there was another change in the amendment I did not mention. In the original bill grants the money through the Pollution Control Agency, but actually it's the Public Facilities Authority within DEED that makes loans and grants for clean water, drinking water, wastewater infrastructure. So the amendment changes the words Pollution Control Agency and inserts employment and economic development.
And we'll act on this on Wednesday. We'll act on the amendments. So, okay. Any further questions about the first bill? Senator Mattson.
Yeah, maybe I missed it, but Mr. Chairman, are some of your sewers both combined sanitary and stormwater?
Mr. Hall.
Because your town is old enough to, they did that years ago, you know. And then they get together, they both flow down the same pipes, and you get the overflow, and my God, you know what happens at the end of the sewer is that they, what's not being treated. Do you have any of that?
Chairman, Senators, actually we did have some combined, but we have separated all of that now. Our systems are completely separate at this point. But
and you, Mr. Chairman, you pay for that out of your local?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Solon.
I can't emphasize how important this is to the community because we are under threat of no further development if we don't continue on with this process. And we have been facing that for several years now, so we need to move forward in a very planned way.
And Senator Brittany Solon, that's an important point because I'm going to ask everybody who has multiple requests in this committee to give us their priorities because, as you know, we have $4 billion in requests and we've got less than $1 billion in bonding capacity. So we're going to have to find out exactly what people think are the most important and which direction to go. So thank you for bringing that up. 2331, I think, is your other bill.
Yes, and Mr. Chair, I have an amendment to this also. It is the A1 amendment. And as it's being passed out, it basically cuts our request in half.
Okay. This one's pretty straightforward. And we will get to that on Wednesday also. Senator Solon.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill is requesting funding for facility improvements that are needed at Lake Superior Zoo, which will restore the zoo's national accreditation. The facilities are in need of some fundamental improvements in order to ensure that we are meeting standards expected of quality zoos. And again, I have Mr. Hall here to address questions and
Mr. Hall,
information.
Some of us toured, and so we have an idea of what you wanted to do, but for maybe just for the record, maybe give a little bit of an explanation of what's being requested here.
Chairman, Senators, thank you. I would like to do that. Members, I would also like to provide you with an overview of the Lake Superior Zoo bonding request. Our zoo is in need of facility corrections and improvements in order to restore accreditation with the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. We've identified a number of infrastructure improvements which need to be accomplished in order to meet this goal. We've distributed a handout which provides an inventory of the particular projects which need to be undertaken. In addition to the description of these various improvements, we have a site map which identifies the location of each particular improvement and a roster which identifies the estimated cost for each improvement. These are basic needs for our zoo infrastructure. The projects individually are not very large. However, taken together, this cost represents a sum greater than the city can afford on its own. It threatens the existence of our zoo. We respectfully request the state's help to address our sanitary sewer issues and to bring zoo facilities back up to accreditation standards. Thank you for the opportunity.
And if you haven't seen this polar bear, you got to see the polar bear. If they throw the ball in the water, were you there?
No.
If they throw the ball in the water and the polar bear goes underwater and gets the ball and then puts the ball underneath his right paw, takes a stroke with his left paw, and then changes over, changes the ball over, and then takes another stroke. I mean, it's unbelievable. And
then it took us a long time to teach him to do that.
And he's a lefty, too, so he fires it back up to the handler with his left paw, and then he gets an apple or something like that. But it's pretty interesting. So, anyway, any questions of Senator Solon or Mr. Hall? Okay. All right. Thank you, then. We'll eventually get together with you and try to figure out exactly what you want to do, okay? Okay, thank you very
Mr.
much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Senator Lynch. Welcome to the committee, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senate File 467.
Senate File 467, I'd like to begin, Mr. Chair, with an A1 amendment.
Okay. As we pass out the amendment, do you want to explain it or do you want Mr. Jensen to explain it?
I'm prepared to make some comments.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I am back before you again today talking to you about project that is very exciting for Rochester and, frankly, for the whole state of Minnesota, and it's the Mayo Civic Center complex expansion and renovation. This project, you may recall, you heard about last session. I'm pleased to say that the project was included in the bonding bill. Unfortunately, that bonding bill became victim of the veto pen. So we're back again today. This project represents a unique opportunity for the third largest city in Minnesota. And I always think that it's important to capitalize on the assets that we have in our communities and across the state. And in Rochester, we have the Mayo Clinic, and we have IBM, and we have the University of Minnesota Rochester. We have a growing medical devices and genomics field in that area. And this project is uniquely positioned to attract visitors and growth in all of those various entities. And I think if I could leave the committee with just one thought today, it would be this. The unique feature of this project is that the capacity the project has to bring new money into the state of Minnesota. And at a time when our state resources are so constrained and so tight, I think we needn't underestimate that. I have quite a crew with me here today.
Okay,
I'm
excited. Okay, but Senator Lynch, I don't think I heard you address the amendment, so... Yeah,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment provides for construction as opposed to planning.
So it's a big change.
Mr. Chair.
It changes.
All relative.
It changes from $5.5 million to $37.5 million. So it's just consistent with what the freshmen are doing in nowadays.
Mr. Chair.
No, it's okay. Honest, I'm from the range. I understand.
And Mr. Chair, I have sought to seek a lot of counsel and guidance from the more senior members of the Senate along those lines.
I notice you have Senator Langseth on here as one of your co-authors. Okay, so who would
doesn't
like
to? Huh? I'm not on the bill.
No, you're not quite as senior as him, though.
Who
would you like to have speak first as far as your witnesses are concerned?
Right. Mr. Chair, thank you. We'll begin with Brad Jones, and Brad Jones is the Executive Director of the Rochester Convention and Visitors Bureau. Mr. Jones.
Welcome, Mr. Jones. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. Brad Jones, Executive Director of Rochester Convention and Visitors Bureau. Chairman Tomasoni and members, thank you for your time today. And it was good to see some of you this summer come through and take a look at the project as well. As Senator Lynch referred to, this is an exciting project for really all of southern Minnesota and the state. We view ourselves as really a hub of commerce in that region, and we're uniquely positioned, as you know, in the medical field, the technology field, and the biosciences field. And this project really looks to take advantage of those assets. For those of you who toured our facility, you notice that we have a good civic center. And what I say by that is it's a multi-purpose facility in terms of an arena and some what I would term lower-end multi-purpose space. What this project would do is convert the footprint there and almost double it in physical size, adding a convention center to the mix. And this would be an upper scale, as I refer to it, a convention center geared toward those particular meetings and events. My agency is in charge of representing the city of Rochester and selling events into the city. And with our current facility, you'll see that we actually turned down in 2006 almost 78 events, and that was due to not having enough space and dates available. People want smaller second-tier cities for these types of events, and they really want to be near the assets that we mentioned before. Companies like Mayo Clinic, IBM, our Minnesota partnership for genomics, the University of Minnesota. And currently we don't have the facilities attached to those assets for these types of meetings. Folks come in and they take a look at our hotels, they take a look at our connectability, our restaurants. They say everything's here except for this final piece. So this would provide that. Essentially, the expansion would add about 180,000 square feet. It would allow us to do two conventions or meetings of about 1,000 people in size simultaneously, or one larger event to the tune of 3,500 attendees. I think also you'll see that in the design of the project, it allows us to be very flexible in large ballrooms and small meeting space as well. As Senator Lynch referred to, this project also, if you look at some of our studies, really would attract new business to the state. We're looking at tapping into a market that's growing, it's vibrant. It's one of the last market segments within our industry that is doing that, is growing and is vibrant at this time. So our time is now to, and really within the next 3 years, to approach this market segment, get them booked into Rochester, into Minnesota. And our hopes are that these folks, many of them, take a look at what we have to offer, and it's a great opportunity for them to perhaps open up shop in Rochester, to take a look at our clinic, at our research projects, these types of things. So it's very important. You can see that the economic impact of this project is huge. It essentially puts us on the map as one of the largest drivers in the state in terms of tourism or a convention and meeting a business. It would grow our economic impact from $98 million up to $140 million. So that's a little bit about the economics of it and what we see in booking business and the number of opportunities that are out there. And the number that we've turned away just in the last year. So we're uniquely positioned, and we'd like to pounce on this market when it's hot.
So, and thank you, Mr. Jones. And if you had this particular facility in place, were you able to calculate how many of the 78 events you would have been able to accommodate?
Yeah, and Chairman Tomasoni, the 78 were just events that were turned away in 2006. We identified almost 55 groups, I think, just last year, new groups that aren't in these figures that we could go after if we had this facility. In fact, most of those said that they would send us a request for a proposal and accept a proposal from us if we had the facility. So, and there are numerous that just don't look at us because we don't have those facilities in our current marketing materials. So as we attend trade shows and things like that, we would make it very well known about this project and be able to book that business in during the construction phase.
And is Rochester planning on? I mean, is the $37.5 million, is that the entire price tag, or is that just half, or what is that?
Mr. Chair, it's a $75 million project, and so that we are asking for half.
Okay. All right. Who's next?
Mr. Chair, we'll continue. In light of the state's looming job numbers, I've invited Greg Andrus, a sheet metal business agent and a local affiliate with the Construction Partnership, to join us today. Mr. Andrus.
Yep. My name's Greg Andrus. I'm the sheet metal business representative of Local 10, also a officer of Construction Partnership. It's a labor management committee made up of unionized general contractors, subcontractors, and the labor unions. We are in support of this project, Mr. Chair. Also, the Southeast Minnesota Building and Construction Trades, which is made up of 13 different building trades organizations, are in favor of this. The Mayo Civic Center expansion will create new jobs in Rochester in also in southeast Minnesota, with at least 325 construction jobs over a two-and-a-half-year period. Speaking with my fellow business representatives in the southeastern Minnesota, we've had high unemployment, upwards of 10%. The economy has caught up with the building trades as well. So we're looking to get our people back to work. The economic activity generated by this construction partner construction project alone will generate over $850,000 in sales tax back to the state and approximately $1.1 million in income tax revenue. In addition to the new construction jobs, this expansion will add 750 permanent jobs to the region.
In what?
That'll be people working within the Mail Civic Center complex itself.
Really?
And with hotel and industry, I'm assuming.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Jones. You look like you want to say something.
Just wanted to clarify that as being in the hospitality and service sector.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. A quorum is present, by the way. Okay, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And finally, we'll hear some final comments today from Kevin Malloy, who's the president of Marquee Hospitality. Mr. Malloy.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Malloy.
Thank you. My name is Kevin Malloy, and I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the members of the committee for hearing us today. I'm the president of Marquee Hospitality, which is a division of Schifolius Companies, an entrepreneurial company in Rochester. We are a significant operator of hotels, a retail mall called The Shops at University Square in downtown Rochester, which is now the home of the University of Minnesota, Rochester. And we also have significant other retail operations. From the hotel standpoint, we own and operate the Radisson Plaza Hotel, the Hilton Garden Inn, and the Sleep Inn and Suites, all in Rochester, Minnesota. On a personal basis, I have been associated with the lodging industry in Rochester for the last 32 years. I'm almost afraid to say that, but 32
years. You don't look old enough to have been.
Thank you. I was Senior Vice President of Operations for the former Kaler Corporation, which is now owned by Sunstone Hotels, and I have spent the last 7 years working for Schifolius Companies. The Mayo Clinic is the driving force of the economy in Rochester, Olmsted County, and southeastern Minnesota. As I'm sure you know, they employ over 30,000 people. Everything in Rochester and the region revolves around Mayo. IBM is the second largest single employer with about 4,000 people. These are outside the public sector.
4,400, I found out last time I toured the place.
Okay, 4,400.
4,388.
Outside the public sector, the main employer is the service industry with over 11,000 employees. We are a major part of the workforce. These 11,000 work in the lodging industry, in restaurants, and in retail. Majority of these businesses are there to support the primary market, which is the Mayo Clinic and its patients. The lodging industry in Rochester has over 5,000 hotel rooms, which is a significant number of hotel rooms for a city of 100,000 people. Citywide, the hotel occupancy is about 63%. That's reasonably good, but it is a 37% vacancy factor. Our workforce is made up primarily of middle-class people who earn a living wage and who count on higher occupancies to make their lives more secure by bringing more occupancy and revenues into our community. More hours worked means more job security. The expansion of the Mayo Civic Center is extremely important to the lodging industry. Many of the greatest living minds in medicine today live in Rochester. Mayo does substantial business in holding conferences, meetings, with people coming from all over the world to share thoughts and analyses for the advancement of medicine. Similarly with IBM, they hold many meetings with international visitors coming to our city. The birth of the Mayo Clinic University of Minnesota Genomics Collaboration, as well as the development of the new bioscience building adjacent to the genomics building and Mayo, mean more and more international travel coming to our community. The Mayo Civic Center is a wonderful facility, but it lacks some of the expectations of the market from the standpoint of modern meeting and conference centers throughout the country and world today. We need new and improved expanded facilities to attract more general conventions as well as medical and high-tech conference business. These are markets we understand in Rochester. We also need upgraded facilities that will substantially improve Rochester's position in the overall convention and conference marketplace. Expanded facilities will increase business and have an economic impact of $16 million annually. 31% of the new economic impact can be attributed to out-of-state and foreign attendees. It is estimated that the Mayo Civic Center expansion will create 750 more jobs in the service sector and a total of 325 construction jobs. In my working life in Rochester, I've been involved in three Mayo Civic Center expansions that have taken place to date. All of these have added significantly to the success of the Mayo Civic Center and created higher occupancy in hotels. Result, a more secure environment and more tax revenues. The facility has given a significant return on investment to our city and to the state. We'd be most grateful if you would consider our request for $37.5 million, 50% of the cost of the overall project. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of any of the witnesses? Senator Lynch, I don't need you to answer this question right now, but since there are $4 billion in requests and only, I think, $967 million in bonding capacity, to think about how to get this project going with maybe less money, if it's possible. If it's not, that's another thing we can talk about later. But I'm just going to ask everybody to do that because I know we have some urgencies in some communities, and we don't apparently have the money to do all the things. And if we can get some things started, maybe that's better than just giving nothing. So I just a thought and just a suggestion for people who come in here. I'd like to give out the whole $4 billion if you want to know the honest to God truth. So anyway, that would create a lot of jobs and get a real lot of things done. Are there any questions? Senator Ortman, for your information, you came in late. Since we're not in session yet, we have some amendments that some of the authors want to put on their bills that we won't be able to act on today. So on Wednesday, we'll be acting on the amendments just to get the bills in the form that the authors would like them to be in for consideration by the committee. And Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your comments, and we continue to work on turning this project into a reality. I have to tell you how pleased I am to be able to bring forward a project like this with the wide support of the community and wide support of labor and business, and it's exciting to see what we can do when we come together and work together. I think this project is an example of what smart strategic infrastructure investments can do for the state of Minnesota. And Mr. Chair, as a freshman senator, I was careful to take note of your intent, and I understood you to say that you would like senators to be clear on what their priorities were within your committee. And Mr. Chair, I think you'll be pleased to know that this is the only request that I have coming to your committee.
Oh. Do you have any going to any other committees? You don't have to answer that just yet. How big is Rochester, by the way? How many?
100,000.
Because you named a real. I mean, everybody's working there. 30,000 at the Mayo, 11,000 in the hospitality, 4,400 at IBM. That's 45,400 already working. That's pretty good just in those three places.
Mr. Chair, if I may, with regard to the size of Rochester, this is an exciting development for us in that we are just on the cusp of becoming a city of the first class. And that doesn't happen very often, and I think it's indicative of the tremendous amount of growth and opportunity that is centered in our part of the region.
Was it considered a city of the first class before you became a senator? Or is it just now that it's becoming one? You don't have to answer that one yet. Okay. Are there any other questions of anybody here? Or any comments? Okay, thank you, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Members.
Senator Higgins, are you in the room? There you are. Senator Higgins, welcome to the committee, Senate File 993.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I get started, I bring you greetings from a couple of your favorite former House members.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm supposed to give you a kiss from one of them and not doing that.
Well, no names? Did she mention the names?
Got to be Jefferson and Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They're doing well.
They're married. It's okay. They're getting along really well. Okay.
Mr. Chair, one of the amendments that if someone could offer for us on Wednesday, we would like to change the appropriation amount on 1.7 of the bill from $72 million to $62
million. Okay, we'll get that done on.
Okay.
We'll get that done on Wednesday then.
And Mr. Chair, I'm going to just sit here and listen to City Council President Barbara Johnson and Patrick Bourne, the city's chief financial officer, talk to you about the importance of this bill related to the Target Center.
And Senator Higgins, is one of them going to discuss the new fiscal note, or would you like Mr. Jensen to mention it? One of you will do that.
Mr. Chair, the fiscal note is based on the $71 million, so it's... it's higher than it would necessarily. It would.
Yeah,
be.
I think we have a new fiscal note on it, though. So, is one of you going to discuss it, or
the new one? The new one is old. Is on the old amount.
Mr. Chairman, the fiscal note I have is on the old bill, but it does show you the small amount of the cost in the current biennium. I can hand that out to the members, and then on Wednesday we would have new numbers.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you just hang on to it? We're going to have new numbers on Wednesday, and we'll look at it then. Okay. Who wants to go first?
Mr. Chair, I'll start. And I apologize. I've got a cold, so if I, spit my cough drop out or something, you'll have to excuse me.
We might laugh if you do that.
But, that'd be okay. That'd be okay.
Ms. Johnson, please say your name for the record.
My name is Barbara Johnson, and I am president of the Minneapolis City Council. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to talk to you today. We are talking to you about our request for relief on debt service on the Target Center. And as you know, the Target Center was originally privately owned. In 1995, the legislature authorized the city to issue bonds for the purchase of the center. The city owns and operates through the Target Center through a contract with a private firm. Unlike similar projects, public venues that received state resources for construction or expansion, the Target Center has only received an annual appropriation of $750,000 through the Amateur Sports Facilities Commission. Local resources, including the entertainment tax, parking revenues, tax increment, pay for the bonds. The debt service is a $6 million cost to the general fund every year. Operating losses are subsidized from city sources. The Target Center is a regional asset and has stimulated the revitalization of the warehouse district near the Target Center. It is absolutely accurate that when there are a number of events at the Target Center, we have improved revenues in our entertainment tax, and people benefit from the folks that come down and have a meal, park, enjoy their evening at the Target Center. We have a number of capital improvement needs in the Target Center that will need to be addressed, and I must say that the competition has been harsh on Target Center. We have a new operator who has improved performance, and we're grateful for that, but we find that this load on our general fund is really problematic for us. So I will turn this over to Mr. Patrick Bourne, who is our finance officer. Thank you.
You said the competition was harsh. What is that just because
with Excel?
Oh, with Excel. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe just because the Timberwolves weren't attracting.
Well, that, yeah, that doesn't help. That doesn't help. Okay. Yeah.
There were, however, 20,000 people there at a recent rally.
Yes, that's true. We have 200 events at the Target Center every year.
But they got in for free, didn't they?
Yes.
It was free.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch. People were out the doors, down the street. You almost could have gotten in line at my house.
You can't do it. Political ad here.
Okay. No, I'm not.
All right, okay.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair.
Just saying.
Senator Dibble.
Even though they may have attended the rally for free, I'm guessing some of them, at least a few of them, stopped off in downtown. And
they must have had the concession
stand. And had a burger and a beer. And,
I would hope the concession stand.
Paid a lot of sales tax to
the
state.
Exactly. That's a good thing. Okay. Mr. Bourne.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Pat Bourne. I'm the city's chief financial officer. The request in front of you today is for debt relief. This is, I think, the third or fourth year in a row that this request has been in front of the legislative committee. It comes to you largely because Minneapolis finds itself in a highly competitive market. Excel, similarly situated, and Target Center, but also to some extent the other major public assembly facilities in the Twin Cities area do all compete with each other for the entertainment dollar of citizens throughout the state. These facilities not only compete with each other, but are of different ages and are of a different competitive position. Target Center at 17, almost 18 years old this year, is largely supported by city tax revenues and city funds. Although we do receive, as President Johnson said, some funds from the state for which we're certainly very grateful. But as time goes on, this building, like any building of its age, is in need of capital improvements to replace a number of things. Several of you were on the tour and saw the improvements that the city and the team have made to the inner bowl related to seating, the scoreboard, lighting. We're about to make some other improvements in the building relating to the roof and other things inside the bowl. But now it's important for us to do other fairly basic capital improvements in the building, extending out to the concession areas and some of our access points too. Largely as a result of the heightened competition with Excel, and by the way, Minneapolis supports requests that St. Paul may be making as well. We appreciate not only how important Target Center is to downtown Minneapolis and the region, but how important Excel is to St. Paul as well. But nevertheless, being the older building and being subject to the competitive pressures in the marketplace, Minneapolis has had to increase its financial contributions for Target Center in order to sustain operations. We are now subject to contributing not only $6 million a year, which we've been doing since 1995 for principal and interest on bonds and basic maintenance in the building, but we're now subject to an additional $1.5 to $2 million a year in operating subsidy. That additional financial pressure for us is causing us in part to come and seek this financial relief from you. If the debt relief is made, we would not only relieve some of the financial pressure that the operating subsidy is presenting to us, but we will make and continue to make capital improvements in the building to maintain its competitive position. And just one final note before all of us are willing to answer questions from the committee. A building that's 17 years old may not sound very old to us. It certainly doesn't sound very old to me, but in the life of NBA facilities around the country, it's a bit of a dowager. And buildings of its type and of its age around the NBA are often talked about as being subject to being replaced and renewed. That's not the request that we have here today. We believe Target Center is an excellent building. It will remain competitive and a good home for the Minnesota Timberwolves for some time to come. But nevertheless, that is the marketplace in which we find ourselves, and no longer can Minneapolis itself support the needs of this building. It does need, I think, some wider support from the community. And with that, I'll offer to answer questions along with Council President Johnson.
Just out of curiosity, if I remember correctly, the Target Center, you can put ice in the Target Center too, right?
Yes.
Do you ever use it for hockey at all or any skating events? Or
I believe the
Disney on Ice,
there are entertainment events. We've had some competitions in Target Center as well. Yes.
Okay. But it hasn't been a big factor in your revenues, I take it.
Not any more so than any other entertainment event that's scheduled at Target Center.
Okay. Senator Olson? Oh, okay. All right, any other comments? Okay. Senator Higgins, this is a bonding request. Now, this isn't a cash relief request, right?
Yes.
Okay. And anybody else have any comments or questions? This has been before us several times now, so. And I'll tell you the same thing I told everybody else, since we have $4 billion worth of requests and only less than $1 billion in capacity to, if you can figure out a way to do this in a different way with less money or something, you know, let us know eventually. And we will act on the amendment on Monday, and we'll have Mr. Jensen explain the new fiscal note on Monday also, so the committee members know what's going on. So. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Any
thank
final
you all
comments?
Very much. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Seeing none, then I guess meeting adjourned.
We're going to act on Wednesday.
So we're supposed to say
I'm not going to.